communicator, Stephen Ward.
This sound was recorded on November the 5th, 1964, medium with success.
Hello, Rosie.
Hello.
Goodness me, I was wondering if I was going to make it tonight. There's a big crowd of people here again, more than usual, if anything.
Really?
It's extraordinary. It seems to me latterly the place seems to be so overcrowded, really.
I suppose they all come out of the...
Well, I think they come for various reasons, quite frankly. I think there are a lot of people who are attracted here because they have this sort of realization of the possibility of communication.
Yes.
They sort of see the luminosity, I suppose, is the best way to describe it, that seems to surround this place. And, of course, then again, it's like everything else. These things get round, you know. People say, oh, I've been to so-and-so, and, oh, I'd like to come, see what it's all about, you know. And,
yes,
frankly, it's... It's like a chain system, you know, one tells the other and all manner of people are attracted for various reasons. And actually, as I said once before, it's rather like Pendon Station on a holiday. Anyway, it's wonderful really because
yes,
more people are the merrier. Better I like it in a sense, providing everyone's in harmony, and certainly after night, as usual, most nights are in harmony.
Oh. So what have you been doing, Steve?
Oh, what have I been doing? What haven't I been doing?
Mm.
Actually, I've been relaxing much more than I have been lately. I've been taking it so easy that in a sense you might almost say I've been doing nothing except enjoy myself. Mind you, I enjoy myself whatever I do, but this last, well, I can't say days because that's only by your time, but latterly I've sort of been completely relaxed. I've felt... As a matter of fact, it was I was advised, part of the fact I felt that I had to sort of ease up a bit.
Oh.
I think I was trying to do too much too soon. I've begun to realize that even that you can get a sort of a mental loss, sort of something indigestion, you know. I felt that I wanted to completely unwind and relax and sort of digest everything that had happened, you know. Sort of go over it and sort of think about it and analyze it. And in other words, I felt that I had to sort of, for the time being anyway, for a little while, sort of just completely sort of unwind and relax and allow everything to become thoroughly digested mentally, if you understand what I mean.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Actually, I've been doing all sorts of things that, frankly, in the sense that I never did very much of on earth or had very little opportunity. As a matter of fact, I've been what you would call having a holiday. I've been sort of just completely resting and putting my feet up, sort of thing. And also, I've been swimming and I've been walking in the most gorgeous countryside and everything, in fact, that I didn't do, you might say, on your side. As a matter of fact, I'm learning to appreciate things now, which on your side I used to find a bit of a bore. Not that I'm blind to beauty or blind to the beauty of the countryside and other things, but latterly I have a little time anyway, whatever time it is, I sort of been, I don't know, sort of assimilating everything and going over everything and meeting friends and just being quiet and peaceful and relaxed and thoroughly enjoying myself.
That's wonderful for you, Stephen.
Yes, I suppose it is really. Usually I'm so sort of active, but latterly as thus, I suppose, weak, probably according to your time, I don't really know, but I've been quite happy to sort of just bask, you might say. I was going to say in the sun, but not actually that, but just sort of unwind, unbend, relax and assimilate everything, go over everything and discuss things with various people. And it's interesting to listen to them. I like to listen to people. I'm a good listener, actually.
Yeah.
And one learns that way, of course. And some of the experiences I've had, I felt that, well, I just had to sort of go more deeply into them within myself, if you know what I mean.
Yes, yes.
Because really, you know, I've really gone to town, put it mildly, since I've been here. I've done a terrific amount in what is comparatively a short time coming over. You see.
I know. Dr. Marshall spoke to me the other day, and really he spoke beautifully about you, and he's quite interested in you. He was telling me your quickness in learning and wanting to know everything.
I appreciate him very much.
Yes.
He's a good soul.
Oh, he's a pet and admires him tremendously.
I admire him tremendously too, believe me, very much so. I think he's a remarkable personality. I think he's one of the most wonderful people I've ever met. And quite frankly, a lot of teasing does go on, as you yes. well know, with Mickey, yes. and perhaps even I may have done. The point is that he is really a sweetie. I mean, how do I put it? I suppose he's still got a touch of the old school, you know, the old sort of yes. Victorian sort of family doctor, you know, but
yes.
sweet and kind. And he can, as you know, talk and get going and sort of perhaps repeat himself. I suppose most people do. I think, as a matter of fact, quite frankly, I've come to that conclusion that when we come back and speak to you, we're never always absolutely certain whether we've emphasized things enough or whether we've brought into focus, you might say, everything that we had in our mind's eye that we wanted to convey to you. And sometimes I should imagine that we have a habit of going over the same ground twice. I know he does, because I stood by and listened to him, and I thought, my God, you said that 5 minutes ago. But one doesn't always realize that one has. I suppose I do the same. You see, the point is that transmitting one's thoughts into the sun, so
yes.
that it can be heard, it's as soon as it's vibrated your atmosphere and we're on to something else, we're never quite sure whether we've said something, and it's very difficult. I can't explain it.
Well, as a matter of fact, I think for some people that is very necessary.
Yeah.
It's sort of that if you repeat.
Well, I think certain things want repeating.
Yes.
My goodness me, when you see the state of life in your world and the state of, well, individual lives, you think to yourself, my God, I ought to really rub it home on this particular
yes.
point, or make sure that the person understands that particular, whatever it is I want to convey, you know, because.
Yes.
Frankly, some people, well, you can keep on rubbing it in, you know, but you still don't really get anywhere. And certain people, it's really necessary. I don't mean you, I mean, I know that a lot is, well, quite a number of things are repeated, but sometimes when I've been at seances, at field seances, odd times, I haven't made a habit of it, but I've been so bloody bored, you know, I thought, oh, God, no, not again, you know. I thought, well, poor man, he's got all my sympathy. I wouldn't want his job for all the money in China, you know. I mean, you get these poor old dears. I mean, they're not to blame, I suppose. Most of them are very nice and very sincere. But really, you know, I can't get over
it. What happened to Stephen?
Well, I think sometimes, I suppose I shouldn't say it. It isn't trivial for them, you see. I mean, after all, again, you get back to the individual. What is trivial to one isn't necessarily trivial to another. But I find this sort of back chat sort of business, this sort of home notes or paper stuff, you know,
yes.
it's a bit much. I know that it's natural that people want to speak to their particular relation, and that's all very human, but it does seem to me that they do go down a bit when they talk about the mundane, footling things,
yes.
and I think, my God, when you think of the opportunity you've got, and there you sit, you say such stupid things, do you remember this, or do you think I should do that, and do you think this, and do you think that, and then, you know, I mean, and often the person on this side is so anxious to talk intelligently, but they're made to sort of almost, you might say, come down to a lower level, to, and they want to make the person happy and please them, so, of course, they do, but it's often very disappointing for people when they leave your world to realize that they haven't said any of the things they really should have said or would have liked to have said, that they've had to sort of cope with all mundane material problems, which quite frankly they're bloody glad to be relieved of. You know? But, you know, it's a bit of a problem.
Oh, I know very few of them really. They take more interest on the earthly things and ask about their friends and so on the earth, instead of asking about those who take the trouble to come and talk to them.
Yes, I know. That's how it is.
Hmm.
It's wonderful to talk to you, Rose.
Well, it's wonderful to talk to you because it fascinates me the way you say things, you know. Your phraseology and your different words for your voice.
Anyway, I've been having quite a while of a time, really. Although, as
yes.
I said to you, I've been sort of what you would call relaxing. I've
yes.
relaxed in good company, which I think is the most wonderful thing, because well, quite apart from being on my own, which just occasionally I am, I have relaxed with brilliant minds, which is so stimulating, you know, because I've been so thrilled and so happy to be able to talk to people and listen to what they've got to say and listen to their experiences. And oh, I've met all sorts of people. In fact, through you, actually, you just don't know how much I'm indebted to you. You make me smile when you talk to me and say, oh, I'm so happy about your coming and I'm indebted to you, meaning me, of course, which really is the opposite way around, because by coming here, I've met the most extraordinary characters and quite witty, brilliant people, like Wilde, for instance.
Oh, yeah.
You see, he's only one of the gang, you see, or whatever you like to call it. He's one of the clan, or anyway, he's often been here, and I've met him here, and I've met quite a number of other people, including your own people, but I've met some interesting characters, apart from your friend Frederick, who is quite different to anything that you'd... Well, I'm quite sure that, if I may be allowed to say so, that your mental picture of Chopin is quite unlike the reality.
Really?
I don't know whether I should say that, because I shouldn't try and disillusion you in any way. In other words, I shouldn't try and take away the romantic picture, which you probably have. But the point is that he is... Sometimes I think he deliberately, in fact I don't think, you know jolly well, he deliberately pulls your leg up mercifully.
I know he
does. I think is very wrong of him, and I told him so. And he sort of, well, grins and starts to say, well, it doesn't do any harm, and in a way it's as well, because I think sometimes, let's face it, I think sometimes he's a little bit afraid of getting too serious. Now you may think that a very odd thing to say, but I think that he feels that there are certain aspects of himself and his life and his past, and I don't mean only his past when he was Chopin, but other parts of his background and earlier lives, is so involved that he feels that it would be almost impossible probably for him to explain some of it to you, and if he did try it would be probably incomprehensible. And I think that he prefers you to think of him as he was, as Chopin, and have that sort of picturization of him as the brilliant musician and the rather gay young thing who, well, rather went to the dogs in a sense. I didn't mean that unkindly, but you know what I mean?
Yes.
Through ill health and other problems.
Yes.
And he knows that that is the picture that you have of his last incarnation, but he's also, of course, very anxious that you should have the realization that, like all of us over here, gradually we evolve and we change and we certainly do become, in some senses, very different. But he is a brilliant mind. It's not just only in his music, which he was able to paint poems, that he is brilliant in so many other ways. He is a brilliant conversationalist. And when I talk about conversations, I don't mean necessarily just by words, but by thought force. The thoughts that emanate from his mind are so lofty and so tremendously interesting and so picturesque. He paints in every way. He paints with his thoughts. It isn't just with his music, but he paints lovely melody and lovely, glowing, sort of thrilling, exciting moods and picturization of so many things appertaining to life and humanity. But in himself, one feels the warmth of his character, and one feels the warmth of his personality, and one feels, as one is sort of in tune with him, that is mentally... You see his mind, you see his mind in action, which is the most extraordinary thing, because the only simile that I can give is that as you realize the beauty that lies in his music, and as you can close your eyes and sort of allow this music to become within yourself soul-stirring and affecting, and also give you mental picturization, so in himself and his personality, in an even deeper way, in a greater way, of course, and in his music over here too, which is on a much grander scale, for the simple reason, as I think he must have told you, that music itself here is not so limited as it must be on Earth, because of the compass, for one thing, and also for the fact that sound can only be heard up to a certain level. Here there seems to be, according to the individual, this is, of course, there seems to be no limit to the beauty of sound, and it is an extraordinary thing how one can create sound even without the aid of an instrument, whether it is the vocal organs or whether it is a piano or a cello or an orchestra, are great musicians and great souls, and certainly Frédéric Chopin is a very great soul, they are able to create the most gorgeous harmonies and the most gorgeous melodies and the most gorgeous sort of soul-stirring emotional music. The instruments seem unnecessary, and they are to these great masters.
And how do these sounds come?
Well, you know, you're asking me something that in a sense I don't really know how to answer. When I say they create sounds,
yes.
These sounds obviously are sounds which are vibrating, but they are only heard, obviously, it seems to me, by people who can be in tune with the person who is sending them out. And it seems to me, of course, the more I realize about life over here, and indeed, the more I realize about life, in a sense, on your side, the fundamental of all life is vibration.
Yes.
And I suppose when you get back to rock bottom, that is exactly what life is. The whole world is vibration. The very atmosphere in which you exist, the very air which you breathe, indeed, the very fact that the earth is revolving in space, it's all vibration.
Yes.
But when you get vibration of a very high order, on a very high level, very high plane, mentally and psychically and spiritually, and when you get a complete fusion of all that is of good,
yes.
All that is aspiring, all that is within the soul of the individual, trying to raise itself up and up and up and up, it's as if you're striking new notes and touching new spheres of experience. And it is all this which seems to have such a tremendous part to play in life here. I know it suffuses me. I know that there are moments when, as just recently, I've completely relaxed myself. I can only say that, in a sense, I've enjoyed that as much, if not more, than the actual experiences that I've had visiting other planes and places. In a way, I suppose, it's a tuning in. There again, Marshall says that this is a necessary thing to happen to everyone over here when they've been here for a time. They're full of anxiety to know this, know that, do this, do that. And then there comes a surfeiting, and this feeling of rest is necessary and relaxation. And it is during that period that you seem to be able to strike new chords. It's as if you are gradually unwinding and tuning yourself into a more perfect vibration, a more perfect consciousness. It's as if all that you've assimilated begins to fall into place and has its complete completeness. Because whereas before it was scrappy, there was a bit here and a bit there, you were doing this, you were doing that, you were meeting that person, you were visiting that place, and you were gaining all these little bits of experience and knowledge and so on. But somehow, now one can sort of fit it all in. It's the most extraordinary thing. I suppose in a way, it's like when you, I know this is not a good symbol, but I can't help it, but when you're on Earth, you go abroad, for instance, you go for a holiday, you thoroughly enjoy it, you meet new places, you go to new places, you meet new people, you hear strange sounds, you eat different food, for instance, and all sorts of things are different and new and strange, and you enjoy it, but you find it exhausting. When you come back, it's as if you'll be able to relax and go over it, and you begin to appreciate it more, and you're able to sort of, well, know it in a better sense, you know.
Yes.
I don't know if it's probably not a good simile, but something of the sort is happening to me.
Yes.
I feel now, for the very first time, not that I haven't felt in a sense previously, but I feel now completely settled, I feel completely relaxed. But you know how I used to come through, and I still do, I am now, I suppose, sort of full of beans and sort of all excitement. And, well, of course, I've still got that, and I don't suppose I
should. Oh, don't lose that.
Well, I shan't, but the point is that I realise that if I'm going to be coherent and I'm going to be sensible and I'm going to impart knowledge and experience, I've got to sort of, not exactly curb it, but I've got to sort of, just go a little more placidly along and correct myself.
I know, I've noticed that, you know.
Mind you, I've noticed with you that you're rather like this yourself. You're never really, well, I suppose you are placid. There are times that I've known you to be quite placid, but it doesn't take much to sort of set you off.
No, that's right.
You know, and I think we're all very, as a matter of fact, I think another one of the reasons why I could probably do so well, and not only me, but others that come, is that particularly all of us in a sort of in rapport together, you know. Yes. I mean, the medium's like that, up in the air, you know,
yes,
and down the depths, and
yes,
you're like that too, and so is, so am I, and so is Frederick, and well, in fact, I think Marshall is, although he would never admit it, but I think that he can.
Oh, he can get
yes,
excited.
You know, actually, it's an extraordinary thing how we all sort of fit in.
Yes.
It's a wonderful thing.
Oh, wonderful.
And those poor souls that don't fit in just don't get on at all. I feel terribly sorry for some of them. They're such sweet things, some of them too. And but somehow, for some reason, they don't seem to be in rapport or on the vibration or whatever it is they call it in psychic parlance. But the point is that they just don't hit the old nail on the head. And, you know, they just don't get on at all well in communication. And then, of course, it's so disappointing for them and for their particular relations who may have come to talk to them. But when I think of what I've listened to and
yes,
what I've experienced downstairs in the cellar, well, I'm jolly, jolly glad that it doesn't apply to me. Anyway, I shouldn't say that because
I know that they do
have some wonderful communications down there with certain cells that come to them.
Yes.
That's an entirely different thing. But
yes,
the ordinary routine, you know, what goes on down there.
Yes.
Are you all right, dear? You know, and I think, well, of course they're bloody well all right. You know, it all seems so stupid to me, and yet it's all very human, and one shouldn't say this, of course. But then again, as soon as they said that, are you all right? Now, what am I going to do about this?
Oh,
do you think this, that, or the other, you know? And I mean, oh, God, not again. You know, give the poor so-and-sos a bit of peace. But, really, I suppose I shouldn't say.
No, I'd like to hear these things. I'd love to hear. It's interesting.
And they're always thinking we're sticking around knocking like mad or something like that, you know.
What?
Think we've got nothing better to do than just go and knock on the mantel shelf or knock on the wardrobe or do some bloody stupid thing, you know. Just occasionally, probably, it does happen. People do things to attract attention. I think that's very human, very natural. But at the same time, some of these people seem to think that their dear ones have got nothing else to do but go around playing jokes and tricks upon them.
Not realizing very often they can't do what they want.
Goodness me, really, if it weren't rather tragic, it's rather funny.
Mm.
Anyway, it's been nice talking to you. I had to go in a minute.
Oh!
Yes, damn nuisance. We can't help it, Ducky.
Oh.
But, anyway.
All right.
I've got loads to tell you once I get it. You know, it's just a matter of, well, you've got to be patient, old dear.
Yes,
we don't do so bad, do we?
Oh,
anyway,
no.
All my love and blessings and a big...